Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio. You can find them online at impactpowersportsmi.com. In case you're looking at making a purchase of a Yamaha golf cart, they have those. How about a e-bike, scooter, motorcycle, go-kart, you name it, they have it at Impact Power Sports. I am very late today. I realize that. It's not uncommon for me to be 15 minutes late. It's kind of uncommon for me to be this late, though. And so Madison is making her biweekly visit to the emergency room right now. As you know, we've talked about this. She is addicted to hospitals. Now, I'm kidding, and I don't want to let that go for too long. You know, because if I don't say I'm kidding shortly thereafter on that, like Free Beer May, she's sensitive to that. She doesn't like that I bust her balls about her biweekly hospital visits. And they've always been warranted. I'm not going to lie. It's not like she's some wacko hypochondriac. She is legitimately ill and has always been. But it's my job to troubleshoot and be DIY doc. And I'm the best at it. But sometimes it doesn't work. Today, it did not work. And I diagnosed her last night. I go, you have a viral infection. And you keep throwing up. And you are dehydrating. We need to get water into you. Now, turns out I'm 100% right. Alan with the question in the chat, is this a stage 3 hurricane? No. She didn't hurricane out on this at all, which is remarkable, because she'll a category 3 hurricane will hit if she stubs her toe, but it didn't last night at all. So she hasn't been feeling well for the past few days. And last night, she went to bed, and then at about 3 in the morning, she's in the room. And the dogs start barking because she burst into the room. And it wasn't really a hurricane. It was more like just a tropical depression at the time, but it was enough to upset the dogs. They barked. Everybody shoots out of bed, bolt upright, Pooh Bear and I should say, dogs. And she's informing us that she keeps vomiting. She's been up all night vomiting, and that's true. The only advice I give her is I go, all right, this is what I want you to do. Walk out of here and go to bed. I can't. I keep throwing up. Okay, honey, just try. Well, it didn't work. She's throwing up all night. Morning comes. Same thing. And she goes, I can't even keep water down. I go, all right. I go, this is a virus. There's nothing the doctor can do, but it is dangerous that you are dehydrated. We have to get fluid in you. Alan asks, where's Ash when this is all going on? In bed. Okay, this is still my jurisdiction at this point. You might think otherwise, but I want it this way. because, as you know, I am a physician. You might think to yourself, yeah, you just have her husband take care of it. No. Because I have the knowledge. And I embrace the physician job. Clown of Carnage is, that would be Nick the Black Belt's comment. Provide some insight, and we were thinking the same thing. Even an ounce, an hour keeps things going. So I said to her, I go, okay. Now, I used to do this to you and your brother when you were little, when you would get dehydrated. And I'm going to do it to you now. What? I go, okay, all this requires is, first of all, we need several minutes of no throwing up. Your stomach hates you and it's angry. So 15 minutes, nothing. I'm so thirsty. Trust me. I set my timer on my phone. 15 minutes passes. I go, okay. Let me introduce some water. And you literally get an eyedropper, which is 1/2 of an ounce. I'm sorry, 1/2 of a teaspoon. 1/2 of a teaspoon. That's like the size of a dime's worth of water. And she goes, what is this? I go, this is your water. And I give it to her. And I go, and I set the timer for 5 minutes. I go, every 5 minutes, you get another one of those. Now, if you throw up, the whole thing starts over again, where we have to wait, and then we'll go for 20 minutes instead of 15. We're trying to find the sweet spot where water, you can consume water and not throw up. Becca Shea says, get some Pedialyte. Inaccurate. Water is easier on the stomach than Pedialyte. The ingredients in Pedialyte, eventually you get to that point, Becca Shea, but don't question the physician here. If you can master water, then you graduate to electrolyte replacement. Don't come in here with your throw some Pedialyte down her throat nonsense. You've got an angry tummy. She has a virus. She's dehydrated. We have to keep her, keep water in her system. As we are paid a visit by the multi-talented Dana Bentz again. This is now at least half a year since Dana Bentz reached out and picked the brain of your pal EZ. We still do not know what she is up to. She claims she is on the verge of something big. She was commissioned by someone to be part of this focus group, I guess, on podcast creation. And she questioned the ultimate authority on this topic, your old pal EZ. We still do not know what in God's name she has up her sleeve. She checks in from time to time. It's a perfect opportunity for me to reset that. Hopefully at some point, whoever she is working with will give her the okay to discuss. It better be big, okay? You better be employed by, like, Joe Rogan or somebody. She says, oh, my God, I know. Our launch has been delayed a few times. Still a secret. The launch, what is it, a rocket? It better be good. It better not be something lame. And then you got to tell me what you learned from me that it factors into whatever it is that this is. God, what a steel trap for secrets, though. She doesn't tell anything. If you ever have a friend that says to you, hey, I'm having an affair, don't tell anybody, they don't have to worry. You won't. God.
Okay.
So where was I? I got distracted. Sorry. So I give Madison the water, and I set my timer 5 minutes. 5 minutes goes by. I give her another 1/2 teaspoon of water with the eyedropper. And she goes, "This is stupid." I go, "No, it's not. It worked on an infant. You, not you, with Jim and Jackie, you were never sick enough. But they were at one point. They had rotavirus. Horrible. Trust me, we got to keep you hydrated." So 40 minutes, and I'm like, all right, she hasn't puked. We have turned the corner. And then she puked. I could hear her through the wall of the studio. So I was like, all right, back to the drawing board. And then I just said, okay, go in. I don't want to risk this. This could get out of hand. So off she goes to the emergency room. Pooh Bear took her. And I know you're like, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't her husband take? No. Again, she's within the jurisdiction of the household at this point. There are some things that the husband deals with, like the hurricanes. If she gets to a category 1 through 5 hurricane, that's okay. That's out of my jurisdiction. So they go to the hospital and they determine what my determination was. She has a viral infection and she is dehydrated. So they put her on an IV. They give her anti-nausea medication. They do some other blood work to determine it's nothing else. And hopefully that will come back negative, and I'm sure it will. And she returns home. Megan is here. She says that paramedics told me that Powerade is better than Gatorade in terms of electrolytes. Tyler says this is more of a tropical storm, not worthy of husband dealing. Yeah, even less. It wasn't that big of a deal. Well, and she started to get, like, sassy with me. There was full-on sassafras when I said, okay, I am taking over care. And she's like, yeah, what? I go, no, seriously. And I explained to her my 1/2. Well, first of all, I go, no water for 15 minutes at least. You need your tummy to calm down. And she immediately balked. I can't even have ice. I go, yeah, ice is water. No, your stomach is very angry. Don't put anything into it right now. Just let it settle the fuck down. You don't have to get mad. I go, I'm not mad, but you're like, I mean, I know what I'm doing. All right. I'm a father / physician. Why don't you trust me? I raised 3 kids. I know exactly what I'm doing with shit like this. And you don't know. You see, and kids' job, all kids, their job is, their number one job is when they hear anything from a parent, fight. Fight for your life. No matter what, argue. No matter what they say, the kid's job is to call the parents out and tell them that they're wrong. And look at you like you're an idiot. That's how this goes. That is the job. Never before has there been a time that a person, no matter what their age, like Madison, she's going to be 23. No matter what the age, she's 23, I'm 55, that I would tell her something and she would go, oh, okay, Dad. Hey, that sounds great. I like that. Oh, that's wonderful advice. Never. No matter what. It has to come from someone else. If the homeless guy down the street, living on the street, if I went and brought him in, and said, all right, tell her this. And she, and the he then said to her what I, you know, this advice, she would go, oh, thank you. But if I said it, it's like, Donna Dan says, while you're housing the kid as an adult. Well, that's just till the end of the month. You know, this was their lease didn't start. I didn't want you to get the impression that they're like living here, you know, sucking off the teat. Well, they kind of are, but I don't care. Freaking know-it-all moron kids. Yes, and that is also a job of us. Donut Dan can refer to his kids as moron kids. I can refer to my kids as moron kids. And the only time that Dan can refer to my kids as moron kids, if I'm like saying, can you believe my moron kids? Then he can go, yeah, those fucking moron kids. But if I'm not bitching about it, then if he calls my kids morons, I have to stomp them out. Nick says, especially teens. Right. And she's not, but she kind of is one of those. So this all unfolded while I was doing the radio show this morning. I then greenlit the physician thing because even though she can go if she wants to, it's up to me to greenlight. I still have to greenlight these things, being that we are in this weird flux state. Okay. I don't think there's any point in history that you have a young person who, you know, like turning off a faucet. Dependent, independent. It doesn't exist. If it does, it's very, very rare. I always was impressed with, like in high school, there was a few of these people who, like before they graduated, they turned 18. And the second they turned 18, they just moved out. And mom and dad are like, what are you doing? And I mean, it's like midway through the school year. I'm moving out. Why? Well, because I'm going to get my own place to live. You can't do that. Well, yes, I can. And I am. And then they've got an apartment. They're in high school living in an apartment, coming and going as they please. How are you going to afford it? Well, I've been working at the tool and die shop after school for 8 hours a day, 6 days a week. I've got $35,000 in the bank. We had a few of those. Pat Hickman was one of those, that fucker. The dude spent all his time working at the tool and die shop, Dorian Tool and Die, from like 15 to 18. The only thing he bought was pot. And then the word came down, hey, Hickman just moved out of his house. He's living in his own place now. He's renting. Like, what? And then like by the time the summer came around, he like moved into his own house. I'm like, my God. What a fucking legend. I was so impressed with that dude, man. And all the rest of us are like, what the fuck is going on? A person who is, that's a new name. I don't recognize the name. Could be anybody. Says, I dropped out when I was 14 and got a job selling stuff and got an apartment with my at-the-time girlfriend when I was 16. Boy, did that go poorly. Your friend probably bought from me, LMAO. Oh, you were selling the drugs. That's outstanding. But I don't know if that's outstanding. It's pretty terrible, actually. You're selling drugs. Hickman would just buy the pot, but he would work his ass off. By 3:30, he's working in the shop. Donut Dan says, my kids thought I was a complete dipshit until they approached their 30s easy. They got better. I haven't seen that yet. I have a, my son is 30. And I still get the impression that I don't know anything. Like, I am a moron. It even goes so far as phone call. Hello? Hey, Dad. I got to run something by you. Let me see what you think about this. He'll ask. I'll tell him. Oh, hey, I appreciate this, Dad. You know, I can hear like that song in the background, that Cats in the Cradle. I hang up. And I think, this is great, man. He came to his old man for advice. And then like the opposite happens. Piano Finger Banger is here. He says, we need to get Jim on this show to hear his side of the solar system project story. That's a great idea. That keeps manifesting. That is like the granddaddy. You know how like there's someone in your life who has done something that you forgive them, but you can always bring it up if you want to like even out the playing field. You can always hearken back to that with a I forgive you, but I don't forget moment. That's happened. He has like one or two in particular that he does to me. And it pops up. And when he brings that up, I bring this up. Jim was the first to graduate. When it was time for his open house, he said, hey, I want Mr. Esteban to make Asian food. And I go, who is Mr. Esteban? He says, well, he's a father of one of my classmates. And he cooked, and it's the best food ever. And I said, no. I don't want that. I don't know who the fuck he is. I can't trust him. So I hired a caterer. And he was a chef. I mean, this was top level. I've got the chef and like two or three people serving food to people. And it was a really terrific spread of food. I mean, it was nice. And I mean, we spared no expense on this. I said, this is your graduation. It's going to be a big deal. Let's just go with this. And he agreed reluctantly. I even got him a massive, you know, like you're in the gas station and they have a big freezer full of ice cream. Like the stuff that's pre-wrapped, like strawberry shortcakes and Klondike bars and everything under the sun. I had that full of ice cream. Fast forward. Jackie's graduation. She says, I want to hire Mr. Esteban for my meal. And I should have said no, but I allowed it. And he was great. It was so awesome. I immediately became friends for life with Gene Esteban. And oh, his food was so good, and he was so sweet, and so they made the food, and Jim's like, what the hell? And I go, I don't know, buddy. It is what it is. I didn't trust him, but now I trust him. And then Madison had her graduation. We had the same meal Mr. Esteban cooked. So now this is Jim's holding this against me, like legit. So for years now, he's been like bringing that up. Even for Madison's wedding, we had Mr. Esteban cook the food. Same goddamn meal. So Jim, from time to time, will bring that up. Yeah, thanks. Thanks. And then his lovely wife, Aubrey, my daughter-in-law, she'll say, you know, that was a very expensive. I remember that meal. Your dad spared no expense. It was an outstanding meal. So she kind of like busts his balls about it. And, but he keeps bringing it up. So he brought it up the other day. And I go, okay. It's like the fifth time you've brought this up. recently. If we're going to go back and discuss things that annoyed us about family members, if you're going to be annoyed because you didn't get exactly the meal you wanted, but yet I still spent thousands on the food for your graduation party. Okay, go ahead. But that means I can go ahead and can complain about the fabricated solar system project that you made me buy all the supplies for so that you could throw me off the trail on the goddamn college courses. So every time you bring this up, I'm going to bring up the solar system project. Have any of you in the chat not heard EZ's solar system project story? Because if I can get just one of you to say that you have not heard it and you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, I will tell that again. It's an all-timer. Alan says, I haven't heard it. Piano Finger Banger says it deserves a retelling. I will retell it, and I'll retell it right now. Jim decided to... He bombed out at Ferris. Comes back home. And then out of the blue, he says, Dad.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I want to take college courses at the local community college. And I said, okay, that sounds good. What do we need to do? He goes, well, Dad, I'm going to sign up for all my credits. And then you go ahead and I'll give you the bill. And I go, hey, that sounds like a plan. I like it. 12 courses. At the time, the living arrangement was EZ, Pooh Bear, Jack, Jim, Madison, not to mention Aubrey Joy was here, my daughter-in-law, not daughter-in-law at the time, and my grandkids were all here. Awesome. It works out where Jim will head out the door for his school day with his backpack and go and do the day's classes and come back home. Okay. All right, we'll figure this out. No big deal. I get the bill. I pay it. And that's that. That is that. I don't know of anything. All I know is that Jim leaves every day and goes to class. I go to work. After several weeks of this, he says, hey, on your way home from work today, I am working on an intensely amazing project for my astronomy class. Yes. I need you to go, Dad, to Hobby Lobby and get me all these great supplies because I am doing a mock-up of the solar system. And I said, okay. I go there. And you know those foam balls that you stick like fucking flowers in? He goes, yeah, I need those. So I FaceTime him. And I go, okay, we got all these different sizes. And I'm like, he can see what I can see on the shelves. And he goes, okay, stop. That's the sun. I go, okay, cool. Get the sun, put it in a basket. All right. Hold on, Dad. That's Mars. Okay. We did this for all of them. We even did the goddamn Kuiper belt. I need all, and I need, can you get me this wire and this and that? And you get me the some paints? I want to paint these. Mars is going to be red. Yeah, yeah, all right, yeah. Okay, cool. I can barely turn the cart. It's so full of shit. I ring this up, and the clerk goes, what's going on here? I go, it's a solar system project. That's what it is. She's like, okay. All right. I go, yeah, my son, he's going to be a brilliant astronomer one day. He's just had me pick this up because he's so busy. I'm really proud of him. He's going to college. He's got two kids. He's still with the girl. God, amazingly, that's awesome. Fucking fantastic. Rings it up. It's like, I don't know. The amount I paid gets more every time. $11,000 in supplies is what I paid. I walk out the door and I go, this is awesome. This is yet another reason why I am the father of the year. I am the father of the decade. I walk in, Jim, I got the solar system stuff. He goes, awesome. Thank you, Dad. And he grabs his supplies and he actually went downstairs and on this table I have down there is fucking the solar system. I go, look at this. This is incredible. It's so good. This is so good. A little bit of time passes and I'm at the radio station. Jim reaches out to me, says, Dad, I just talked to my professors and they gave me the approval for all of my classes. I can do them at home. This is before, like, I guess online classes were a thing. So I was like, really? How does that work? Well, I got approval here. I'll just send you this correspondence with my astronomy teacher. And I get it. And I see both sides of the conversation. And I go, oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, he didn't need to prove it. I believe it. I mean, I don't know why he's sending me this. I mean, he did the astronomy project. I'm so proud of him with all this. I go, yeah. I go home. Time passes. One day I go to the mailbox. And I see there's a piece of mail, and you know how, like, you can instantly check, or you can instantly tell that what you get is a check. And it's from the college. And right away, all these wild-ass puzzle pieces that are in my brain, they fit together instantly. All the planets fit. All these clues fit. That I had no idea. I did not see this coming at all. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, how the fuck did you not fall for it? Or how the fuck did you fall for this, you idiot? So I'm like, oh no. Oh no. And I dropped the mail. I still got the check in my hand. And then I open it up and it's paid to the order of Jim. For a full reimbursement. And I come to find out after the fact that I even plotted it out where the amount of days from where and I eventually found out the truth that as soon as he said, hey, Dad, I'm going back to school. This is a goddamn scam. I enrolled him. He immediately unenrolled. I'm like, why the fuck did you do this? So now I'm standing at my mailbox and I'm like, God, what is happening? What have I done to have this type of treatment? This is a goddamn manipulation of epic proportions. Holy shit. And so it turns out Big Fellow was, I guess he just wanted to make me think that he was going to school. I mean, that's obviously what he was. And I still don't know why. I've tried to block out portions of this remarkable scenario in my brain. In fact, this is the new hamster story for me, by the way. This is the one that has more of a haunting factor spot in my brain than the hamster story. Also terrible, but this one's more fresh. I mean, I was pissed. I was really upset. So much so that I was just like, I don't want to talk to anybody for extended time. I don't want to ask any more questions about this. We need to flush this. This is bad. This is like, it isn't quite like if you're married and you find out that your wife is cheating on you, but it was a bad feeling. I felt terrible about this. I was like, why? What the hell is happening? And so he would put books in his bag and then leave the house. And he would go and then I go, well, what were you doing? Yeah, I would park at McDonald's all day. I'm like, oh, fuck me. Holy shit. That's the type of moment where this is an adult I'm dealing with here. So I just bottled that all up and, you know, I'm just going to continue on with life. There's nothing I can say. There's nothing I can do. That's it. It's over. So that means when it comes back to, yeah, Dad didn't get me the food I wanted for graduation, I'm quick to go, oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, excuse me. I'm so, what an asshole. What a faux pas. How terrible. If only there were something 80 times more catastrophic in scope that you had done to me. Oh, wait. Let's go downstairs and discuss the planets that are hanging up. I wish I still had the goddamn project, but I was so upset I just fucking slam dunked it into the garbage. It's fucking terrible. Yeah. So there you go. That story is now, I don't go into that much detail when I just let them know that, hey, if you're going to go ahead and bring up the goddamn, you didn't get Mr. Esteban's egg rolls for your graduation to me every fucking time I see you, I am going to bring up the goddamn solar system project. Lots of comments. Piano Finger Banger says, in hindsight, this is like something you do in sixth grade. The project. Yes. Again, I'm an idiot. I can't believe I didn't sniff this out. Man Bun Chris, I love how he gave feedback on the orbs that you picked. My favorite part. Rebecca says, this story falls just behind the Gary at the Men's Warehouse story in the hierarchy of easy lore. Jeremy K writes, my son, he's doing a solar system project. Oh, what grade is he in? He's 24 and he has children. Becca Shea with, do they even do solar system projects in college? LOL. No, probably not. Stevie says no. Stevie works for that college that he was at, I believe. Jeremy says, only at community college. That's where all the burnouts go. Starman says planetary alignment is what we call that. Is that why you're known as Starman? You know things on a celestial level? What do you do for a living, Starman 314, whose father is either Neil or Reese? I think it's Reese. Starman 314, in case you don't know, is the son of legendary radio man Reese Rickards, who is retired. Becca Shea says Jim should run for office. Tyler says he needed investment money to kick off his professional gaming career. Starman says you both edged a bullet. Astronomy doesn't pay. Megan with how have I never heard this before? Isn't that crazy? I mean, you're like a what we describe as a P1, a diehard. That's a radio term. Audience members that listen to everything. And you have not heard that story. Starman with he would have been better working at that McDonald's. You're telling me. Rebecca says, rank the easy stories. Hot Zester, Hamster, Gary at the Men's Warehouse, Solar System. There might be more all-timers in there, but those are four good ones. That's a Mount Rushmore right there. I don't know. I think I would have to put Gary at the Men's Warehouse at the top of that. Followed by, boy, it's tough. Those are all great. I don't know what could be second. David says, I don't think not getting the food you want is equal to lying about college. Donut Dan says, good for you for being so supportive. Now you can screw with him and tell him he gets that money subtracted from his part of the will. Outstanding. Megan says, Jim could go back to college for esports. Well, I'll tell you this right now. The ship has sailed on that type of support. That was one and done. Tyler adds, Jim knocking over Pooh Bear's mom's ashes is a good story, too. We can take any suggestions of stories of mine that fit into your brain that you will never forget, that you're like, oh, my God, what a great story. Did everyone hear the Gary story? Man Bun Chris says Z-Speed was great, too. Oh, that was, but it's ruined now. Unfortunately, that has been omitted from the lore of the show for a lot of reasons. Well, one big reason that unfortunately can't be talked about anymore. The cheating at Z93 story. You know what's interesting about Z93, the mobile home of rock and roll, is for the longest time, I thought that the building, the actual mobile home, had been removed from the premises of the radio station. And because eventually we moved out of the mobile home and moved into like a more of a business setting. But I guess the tower is still there. And I had thought that the mobile home was removed and the tower where the transmitter is, they just go and they don't. But I was looking on Google Earth the other day, and I noticed, I looked a little closer than I had previously, and I discovered that the actual mobile home is still there. Now, some of the surrounding landscape in that area outside of Midland, Michigan, is different, but there's access to it and everything. And the reason why this is in my brain right now is because I have this thing in my brain where, in particular radio stations, I oftentimes dream about the old surroundings. And I like, I still have dreams about working at GRD, and I'm with all of my old mates. Now, in the scope of real life being where right now, I like take a big shit on them every chance I get. In those dreams, I'm at the old studio, GRD, and they're there, and I'm back on the air with them, but it's awkward because, you know, I'm making fun of Freebeer's wife's nose all the time and shit like that. So it's like, oh, God. And, oops, sorry. And then, you know, Kelly, who's like 6'5", sticks her foot up my ass or something in the dream, which I kind of want to happen, actually. But I also have dreams about the mobile home of rock and roll. And if I could ever get back to that place, I've often dreamt about just peering in the windows. That's it. That would like satisfy or scratch the itch that I have. Like, I still have dreams about our old house here in West Michigan. So much so that the lady who lives there now, her name is Stacy. She's a friend of the family. I sold her that house. And I happened to be driving by there, and I started to go, hey. She goes, hey, you want to come in and check out your old house? I go, oh, my God, yes, I do. Holy shit. And it was awesome, you know. I felt like screaming Jackie's name out. I found the spot right where the Pooh Bear's mom's ashes were when Jim opened up the goddamn urn. I love going back to my old places. So I see that the mobile home is still there. So I am going to take a road trip. Okay. And I'm a little bit concerned about walking out of the property because I'll be trespassing. And I just want to go up to the windows and look inside. It's all I want to do. And is that weird? I want to see it. And I want to drive back to I had a house in Midland. I want to see the house. Like, I'm guy who goes to Google Street View to look at it. And I don't know why. There's got to be, it's some type of nostalgic tick that I have that makes that happen. But I would love to, like, if I had all the money in the world, to purchase all the old homes that I've lived in. Don't know why. Just kind of how my brain works. Pumpkin Patch Kid is a great story. Yes. And then when Ben played the drop, looks like a monster for the veteran. Yeah, that was pretty simple, though. It's just I'm talking about this guy who is, I don't know, he was on some TV show we were watching. He was being honored. And he got like half his face blown off, and I'm on the air trying to do the old warm and fuzzy. Oh God, he's pulled it together. I love that guy. He's great. He's a veteran. We love him. And then Ben plays the drop. Looks like a monster. Brian Baumgartner from The Office, playing the part of Kevin. Looks like a monster. Comes flying in from the back of the room. I'm like, oh, and I dumped it. The pumpkin patch story is a good one. Oh, God. I don't want to spend the whole show repeating all these stories, but at some point you'll hear all of them. Now, when it comes to the show, The Lost Zane Recordings, I don't listen to those. Those are the BBL shows. In fact, I only know of two of you that listen to the BBL shows. Man Bun Chris and Kuipers. Have we gotten to the episode where we played the story about the kid and the pumpkins? Because if I remember, that story comes to us because it was a news story where the kid was growing pumpkins and then selling them in order to get a service dog. And it wasn't a service dog for like a blind kid. I think the kid was diabetic. And the dog, if the dog sensed that the kid was going into like a diabetic fucking coma or something like that, the dog would like start barking or take a shit or something. So that was the story. And we played the video for it on the news, and we fired off the joke. I don't remember who fired off the joke. I think it was me. I'm pretty sure it was me. Because the kid was one of those kids who had like a speech impediment. But pumpkin. He sounded like an idiot. And I said, he doesn't need to raise money for a dog. He needs to raise money for speech classes. And that was the joke. And the shit hit the fucking fan because the kid's dad was listening. All right, I'll just fucking tell it. Kuiper says, I don't think we've made it that far. So I make that joke. I don't know what's going on, but this dad's pissed off. I guess Tony Gates on his stupid show, he did this show. He did this segment called The Feel Good Story of the Day. And it was stupid. It's just him going, hey, baby, that's right. We got a feel good story of the day. This kid's got, he's selling pumpkins, baby. Let's get his dad on the air. And so that was his goal. He knows the same story. And here I am making fun of this kid for how he talks, but Gates wants to put him on to like on the feel good story of the day. So Gates gets a hold of the dad. And the dad's having a goddamn temper tantrum. He's in 15 minutes into this temper tantrum because he heard me make fun of his kid. Hey, baby, this is Tony Gates from LAV. Because I know who you are. You work with that son of a bitch, Eric Zane, on BBL. And he's like, what's going on, baby? Yeah, he just said my kid sounds like a moron, and he repeated the joke. So Gates is fucked. And he's like, oh, baby, that's right. I don't know what's going on, baby. He hangs up. He marches into the studio. He goes, hey, what the hell are you doing, baby? I go, what are you talking about? Yeah, I just talked to that pumpkin kid's dad. He's mad as hell at you, baby. So then I get a text from Michelle. And Michelle goes, all right, you got a problem. I'm like, and I text back, what do you mean? Because she hates Tony. And she goes, yeah, he's going to tell Lori, this crazy bitch who ran the goddamn radio station. She's a psychopath. And so you got to get out in front of this. You got to fucking fix it and then tell Lori that you've not only did it, but fixed it. And then you got to call her and tell her. Do that or you're dead. Like, holy fuck. I call the pumpkin guy. The dad, I go, hey, buddy. Oh, my God. I cannot believe that happened. Tell you what. I'm really sorry. This is off the air. I'm coming to see you. And I am making a sizable donation for your son's dog. And he calmed down quickly. He was reasonable. I think he was super dumb. And so I have to drive to like the middle of fucking nowhere. But I hang out with him, call this crazy bitch. And I go, yeah, hey, you know, I made a joke. And after I made the joke, this was my story that I made up. After I made that joke, I thought, you know, that was a little bit rude. So I went and I reached out to the father of this kid. And I told him that I'm going to buy some pumpkins. And I'm really sorry about that. So it's all good. No worries. And she was so stupid, she bought it. So I fabricated all that scenario. And I'm still like, how am I going to get out of this? I had to give that fucker $500 for pumpkins. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.